So once again, Mark Stanton Welch here. This is the 8th of March, 2016. This is Block 4, Session 3 of Tools for the Times, Part 2 of Being in the State of Health. And please refer to your own consciousness for the information that was already shared in your own memory bank. And for those just listening to the call, it was really something. You should have been there. Okay, so let's move on. All right, so please make sure you star six so that any activity in the background will be muted out. And if you have something to say or a question in the middle of all this, just go ahead and star six, and that will allow you to get onto the call and be heard by everyone. We went through a lot last week. Tonight we're looking at the topics, a new view on emotional and mental health. We're looking at tools for healing, conscious alignment to achieve and maintain health, alternative health modalities, death and beyond, the power of witnessing, and additional activities and resources. The one section that is not complete, actually there are two additional activities that will come by the morning or the next couple days, because there's really no room tonight for putting a bunch of those in, but I will make certain that you have a nice little panorama of new things to do when it comes to taking care of yourselves. And the resources are there as far as the book titles, but none of the authors are in. You can actually find it through the book title in Amazon. Every one of those books is on my iPad as a Kindle book and available. There are a lot of resources, but I'll make sure those names are in over the next couple of days. So here we are, and it's time to get started, but I think I'm going to start with a song that was written way back when I was a kid in 1991, July 26 to be exact. Perhaps you can remember what you were doing at that point. I was working on a song. And this was a song for a workshop that I was supporting, which really led me on a career of writing music for very specific events and purposes. At the time, it was a particular workshop on healing. It was a man who was coming through the Unity Church at the time, and he had a little particular slant on things. And I honestly don't remember exactly what it was, but there were some elements about our own capacity to heal ourselves. These were fledgling ideas back in those post-1987 harmonic convergence days. But boy, have they taken hold now, as we shall see, as we look into some of the new modalities that are coming around. The song is called My Body. Well, there are cameras, there are TVs, and lap computers, and the big, big screens. Space capsules, rockets in the air, but not a one of them can compare with my body, my human body. 60,000 miles of blood vessels and veins, skin that clears and heals and cools and keeps out rain, cells that can replace themselves in 7 years, feelings that can give us anger, joy, and fear. My body, my human body. Day after day it works the marvelous machine, walking, breathing, eating, sleeping, digesting, heart pumping, nerves jumping, thoughts coming, it's something. My body, my human body. But one would think it would roll along forever, and one would think it could. One would think one would never harm their body, but the world is filled with people crawling, screaming, hurting, dying, crying, crying, dying. Take it for granted, 'cause it works so well. Swallow in the feeling, 'cause it hurts to tell. Feelings find some tissue and they fester and grow. Sickness turns into disease beyond control in my body, my human body.
and feed it nasty things to keep the feelings inside. Habits turn into addictions, gotta keep high. Soon I start to hate myself, my body gets blamed. This wonderful creation all wrapped in chains, my body, my human body. And one would think one would never harm the body, and one would think it would roll along forever. One would think it could, yeah. And one would think that one would never harm their body, but this world is filled with people crawling, screaming, hurting, crying, dying. So is it hopeless? Are there other ways? Yes, there are answers, but my ways must change. I must make choices with my body in mind. I can be healed and I can realign my body, my human body. And feed it nutritiously, get plenty of sleep. Release emotions I have touched so deep, and redirect my thoughts, and in my silent time, visualize perfection, let my God self shine in my body, my human body. And one would think that it could roll along forever. One would think it could, yeah. And one would think that one would never harm the body. So from this moment, feed the body loving and affection. And shine. Oh, shine. In my body, my human body.
Cute little song. But it carries some wisdom to it. It carries some reminders of how we can create conditions really very easily by doing what we're told and following along in the status quo.
And even despite all the information coming out in these times and the shifts that are occurring, the majority of the population continues doing the same old.
And they run to the system, and they run for help, and they run to the gates of the castle and want to give away all their power just to be okay. It's an insidious energy, that has been given to us and has been planted in our cells and tissues, but which is also leaving. And why do I keep bringing up such a thing? Because of the nature of the insidiousness of it. In order to make change, there's a classic of 21 days to break a habit, right? Well, the process that we've gone through in terms of creating the habits has been occurring over lifetimes. And so the entrenchment of it is quite significant. And so what begins to shift the old ways is to keep them in the forefront of consciousness so that we begin to view the moments of living through these new eyes and this new information. And that creates that point of change, that point of choice where we can make change. And that's an inside job and an outside job and an outside activity that's in each of our hands. If you don't see the validity of living in a different way, then the information is pointless. And really is just something to share at cocktail parties or juice clubs. So, that's a beginning bit of information with that song. And it's interesting because that was 1991. And the whole thing about the new paradigm and the way that, dis-ease and the holding on of energies and the squelching of emotion to create emotional distress in the inside that basically lowered in vibration to become a physical force that began to affect and alter the forms of the cells and the tissues themselves to create a condition that was there to get our attention. And for some, it's taken 20, 30, 40, 50 years to get attention. But isn't the body a wonderful thing that is able to continue doing the capacity of holding on to those energies for all this time, still trying to get our attention and really never giving up on us? And how many of us can sit here and say that we haven't kind of given up on our body and allow our patterns and our routines and our thinking and all of those things to just sort of wash over the truth of this magnificent creation? Well, that's what this course is about. And the beautiful news is that with the assistance of the energies coming in, we can make changes very, very quickly. So let's look at some of them tonight. Let's go to the one hanging over all the heads. Let's go to Death and Beyond. And let's look at this, because this is the great deceiver, the vehicle that has kept so many out of their power and frightened by the capacity of doing certain things or making changes or letting go. So it has to do a little bit with the business of death as well as just the nature of the process itself in the big picture. I don't know if these are definitive answers, but it's certainly another way of looking at it that you can see if it makes sense to you. And if so, why not live like that for a while? See what happens. That's really what it's about. Death, the thing that hangs out there, stresses so many out. Funny, because we have each done it thousands of times and seem to forget every time we incarnate. Ah, that's spiritual amnesia. Death is personal. It is until you are gone, and then it is about the ones left behind. More of the death thing is about what comes up for the loved ones when you leave your physical vehicle. So the best way to address it here is to just bullet point a bunch of relevant thoughts about it, mixing up the lot so it all gets put on the table, and maybe then we can reach a useful conclusion for it. So here are some key points. The whole shebang is based on a fear of the unknown. What will happen when I leave my body? Will I take my body with me? Will I look the same? Is it like the nothing? Where will I go? Did I do well enough in this life to earn a seat next to God? Will I meet my loved ones past? Will I become nothing? Will I get caught in hell? What if I take my own life? Will I be punished by whom? And why do we have to die? What if I die before I do everything I want to do? Why do children die? On and on and on it goes. Basically unanswerable in a block to the masses. Something each must come to terms with. And this is the trick. There's no mass answer because of the nature of the dimension, which is about free will. We all are allowed to have our perceptions and live in that frequency. So the block answers just don't work anymore because the whitewash has lost its pizzazz. And the capacity to give away power is so last year. So we are now being forced with all the things that we forced to look at, the many things that we have turned our back on, out of the convenience or out of the programming. And that's what makes these times so challenging, is because we're having to look at things that we have tucked away conveniently. And when the child actually begins to surrender the control that we gave him or her in the early days, we begin to realize we have business to do. It isn't that we have to dig. It isn't that we have to keep unearthing stuff like we did in the 80s and the 70s. It really is just about noticing how beautiful the body is in giving us information and opportunity to let go and release the old energetic debris. And we'll see that through the course of these talks tonight, there's going to be a lot of different ways where you can do that. And you may already have a whole host of them yourself, which is beautiful. So it is said that what happens at death is what you expect will happen. Free will and choice are that important, at least for a while. For soon we end up back in the universal flow where the separation really does not matter. It's like there's these little sort of an anteroom. You know, when you go down the big tunnel that's been so sensationalized and we see the light, and all of a sudden there's Uncle Frank and Aunt Jenny waiting there going, hey, good to see you. Nice to have you here. And then you run into this and you run into that, and all of that takes place, and it's sort of a slowly spiraling movement as you integrate the idea that, well, I'm not in that form anymore, even though you look down and you go, I'm still in the form. But that's the place where then, you know, you start to see how amorphous it is and how the capacity to sort of move through what used to be solid objects, and now you have the capacity to move back and forth within that. When things start to disintegrate, in other words, to fall apart in accordance to the old form and belief system, then we start to remember the whole big picture, and then we slip into the flow, and there we are again. So it's important to hold on to the idea, well, it's important to be aware of the idea that we manifest that which we intend. And if you're looking for, you know, 40 virgins or studs at the end of the road, that's going to be your delight, well, so be it. You might just get that. Have fun with that. But if you're looking for death, and I mean for hell or heaven, if you're looking for a bearded white guy and a bunch of angels singing, well, chances are you get some sort of ramification of that. That's just the way it is. You see, we're that powerful to create the scenario that best allows us to transition smoothly. We've been programmed to fear death because of the judgment that many religions say is coming. And from that moment, your eternity is decided. Heaven or hell, there's those virgins again. Or a sack of spuds, forgetting or remembering it all, annihilation or eternal life, the end of the beginning or the beginning, move on to another dimension or head back for another round at Earth incarnation. See, it really is not that much to be afraid of. But here, a life in fear brings certain forms to our lives as universal law gives us what we intend to. Focus on fear. The power of attraction is mighty, and we manifest the very forms we rebel against. Fearing that we will contract some disease creates a magnetic pull for the disease, compromising tissue to become a host. Fearing that because our dad died of a heart attack at 47, that we will do the same. See, this is how so many things that are being attached to genetic sources, we begin to see how much we had a lot to do with actually making manifest. Curious things to think about. Many changes can happen as one approaches death consciously. Knowing they are running out of time, there are awakenings, deathbed confessions, family revelations, exposés, secrets told, openings, heartfelt sharing, declarations of love. Curiously, it can be these very revelations that create the inner framework for significant change that can dissipate an energy form that is taking one's life. In other words, a miracle. Because of the intensity of the emotion in those moments of leaving and transitioning, one can make some shifts and changes that actually will delay the transition itself and create miracles right in the moment. Letting go can be that powerful, especially in these times. Just something to think about. So too, that many simply disappear and fade away as death approaches. The potential openings come and go as the willingness to get clear is simply not there. The person feels done. They may choose to manifest symptomologies that contribute to their decreasing availability, like Alzheimer's. The family and friends are left with the emptiness of the fadeaway to process. A lot of people, especially in these times, are experiencing that. Is it really aluminum? Is it that that's contributing to this sort of epidemic of Alzheimer's and all the disappearing, or is it really the person's unwillingness to actually want to deal with their stuff? In the case of what I went through with the loss of one of my parents, my mother in particular, her life was tough. And I don't think there was much willingness really I know there wasn't in her life, but at the end of making peace with that, I just didn't think it was she had the chutzpah left to do that. And so rather than manifest disease, she just sort of checked out. And it was a curious process to be the witness of that and to be in that process of letting that go. And like I said in the beginning, that death is more about those left behind and what they do with it as it is to the person or the being that actually has done the transitioning. Death can be very isolating because of the unknowns. Often family is estranged and life issues come to the surface as the end approaches, making communication and resolution difficult, if not impossible. Hospice has been a powerful vehicle to soften some of the loneliness and terror in the individual, yet too often hospice is called when things are quickly reaching the climax. The presence of the hospice volunteer can even be a fear inducer. Death is really about those left behind, as I've said several times now. This is where the business of death gets nasty. At a time when emotion is high, with all the stages of grief, families are called upon to make arrangements and decisions about funerals, burials, services. Of course, most want the best for their departed one and will pay way too much for the whole thing. There was a lot of the selling of the Cadillac coffin when the Subaru would have just been fine. Even cremations require a casket to be performed. Really. Expenses, money to be made at the hands of those who are suffering through the loss. It happens. And, yeah, there are really some conscious people in the process as well. This is not a declaration of the nature of all things, but it is what most of us have to deal with. In Western cultures, death is a somber event and treated as such with the processions and the black and white and the wakes, the black and the wakes and the gnashing of teeth. Other cultures treat it as a natural process that it is. I personally witnessed the burials and cremations in the open by the river Ganges in Varanasi, India. It was powerful and organic and beautiful. And you could walk right through these arenas where the bodies were burning and the souls were being released and the families were there allowing their grieving process to take place, but also in the big picture, just realizing it was simply a transition of forms is all it was. And so the mystery was taken away because it was a knowing that was based on how they chose to live their lives as a mass and in the belief systems that occurred. This doesn't exist in many places in the Western world, except in some of the native cultures. Native American cultures used to set the body of the one who died on the raised platform on the mountaintop, exposed to the elements. And often she became the food for the animals, decaying in the elements from whence she had come. A beautiful process of engaging and embracing the whole panorama of life from birth to death that would happen in these sort of unconscious cultures or these uncivilized groups of people, as the Western world loves to say. And yet the wisdom that took place that really supported the continuity of life really precluded and forced out the need to attach to dis-ease and other issues out of fear. And so you get in many native cultures long, long lives that were just filled with the experience like it was the day they were born. Because they were able to integrate with the natural world and have that connection where each day had a flavor of its own. And they were able to connect all through, even when they, quote unquote, lost their faculties. But you're probably not looking, and at least in many of the indigenous cultures, the occurrence of many of the Western diseases, unless they were planted there like smallpox, but that's a different thing. But it begins to show itself that the more conscious one is about the process, the more smoothly the transition happens, because a transition does come. Can certainly be postponed, and I'm not even saying, and I've certainly gone through ways of thinking and working with various organizations where there was a real devotion to the idea of immortality. I believe in those organizations it was more about the fear of the unknown that made them want to live on, as opposed to the desire to continue to experience the magnificence and the beauty of the panorama of the dimension. Very different purposes. But I think now as people start to see what is happening with these new energies that are raising our awareness and also raising our vibration to have a very different experience of the earthly dimension, we're realizing that, yeah, I want to keep hanging out here. This is really, really nice. New thought traditions embrace the continuity of the being as a unique expression of the I am that I am expressing as me, a unique expression. Might want to rewrite that, Mark. The earthly incarnations are a choice to be in the plane of duality to experience the range of emotions as felt in the physical vehicle. Bodies are taken on each time in circumstances that reflect personal decisions and learnings are set up to experience. The underlying purpose of consciously remembering one's source and who she is a potent current that gives meaning to the moments. Death is viewed as a transition of forms, a release into the eternal oneness that unites all life. And in these shifting and opening times, there is further information arriving that touts the multidimensionality of life and the capacity for multiple and simultaneous lives, each with a unique frequency of being and experience. In this framework, It is not viewed as fear, but rather like taking off one's clothes. Believing as such removes the pressure to achieve, the need to force life, the unknown, and frees one to flow through moments to create exactly what one wants to experience. See, to begin to shift the whole reason for the process, to begin to shift into the bigger view of what this life is about, it's hard to do in these early days because we are so entrenched about the process of you live until you die and then you work until you retire and all of the sort of steps along the way that just seem to be what life's about. But have we ever questioned that, really? Have we ever shown an alternative to it like the ones that are beginning to show themselves now? And yeah, we have no proof yet that that's happening. And there may not be proof until you consciously remember the transitions and come back if you choose to do. You see what's happening, but we're doing leaps of faith in these times, and it's the leaps of faith that will begin to reveal more. And that's what I'm talking about in this particular paragraph towards the end, is that the leaps of faith begin to reveal the actual form of the process, the deeper parts of it, the nuances of it, the expansion of the multidimensionality, the capacity to die in one life and at the same time be fully present in another. All of this going on simultaneously. Yeah, the kind of food, the kind of science fiction energy that we've been talked about, but isn't that the purpose of science fiction and some of those kinds of writings, is to keep the magic and to keep the mystical in the forefront, or at least in the awareness, to sustain it as a possibility until people actually get it? I don't know. It is in these new perspectives that humans will be able to soften in this earthly life, choosing loving and expansive experience over the mundane process of making a living at all costs. Inevitably, this kind of inner and outer life will impact the state of health, reducing the need for ongoing medical care and the addiction to a pill-centered life. The cost of fear-based living is high to the physical and mental bodies. In many cases, it contributes directly to the body and mind illnesses, diseases, and death. Learning to live free of the specter of annihilation would certainly change the quality and focus of human life to establish an ongoing atmosphere of well-being and health. That last statement is very important, that we contain the capacity to shift how life shows up for us and what it does to us by our very attitude and how we choose to respond to life and to be in that attitude in our moments of living. It's a subtle shift in many ways, and yet it has profound impact. The clearer you get through the work that you do, which is really just the process of letting go and getting clean, then the more you're able to embrace the many dimensional elements of the life that we have now. I think that's pretty exciting. So let's move on now to the power of witnessing, which is right below that. Because it's said, well, I'll just see what's here. To witness is to see completely as it is. To heal is to be witnessed as whole. Healing is that simple. It starts with the capacity of the one inside to claim and act upon the true and whole design. No matter what the current form, it is necessary to hold to the wisdom of and the simultaneous existence of the design template. Doing so is a good faith move that activates the magnetic energies necessary to make manifest the vibrations that call forth the healing. Boy, is that a packed paragraph. It really is a diagram of how to do the whole thing. Healing is witnessing. It is being witnessed as whole. And when we see someone through the eyes of the truth of their being, we call their design, the template that has been waiting inside, holding the truth, we call it to activate. And anything that is unlike that frequency dissipates in a flash or over a shorter period of time than it took to make manifest. That's potent possibility there. And the important thing is it says it's a good faith move that activates the magnetic energies necessary to make manifest the vibrations that call forth the healing. One thing leads to the next. Next, it is a leap of good faith to claim that such is so And in so doing, with that leap of faith, it calls forth the energies necessary to make it so. You are first your own witness. All of the lifetimes, the incarnations, the panoply of wayward beliefs, the discordant forms of the experiences in each expression lived, conspire to keep you unaware and perpetually wounded until you choose otherwise. The forms are falling as the new energies replace the Piscean with the love wash and the impending oneness realizations that are a part of this Aquarian age. Your attention activates the form of your moments. Your response to those forms seeds the next moment's form. This is not rocket science. It is the simplicity of a cosmic design and the wisdom that seeds it. Your investment in suffering pays no useful dividends anymore. Do you hear that, oh wonderful Buddhist friends? Your investment in suffering pays no useful dividends anymore. That's like taking what appears to be and making a religion out of it. It may work for a while, but over time we begin to realize, just like any good 12-step program that claims the condition for the rest of the life of the person who is in the condition, that there is no out. There is no way to rise above it or through it to claim the real magic of what your design is calling to, you know, wanting to say, here you are. Yeah, those things are considered a higher form and a clearer form of energy, but they are really limiting. That's my opinion. Your attention activates, okay, your investment in suffering, being seduced, by the way, okay, turning your back on the illusory man in the mirror will start to reveal the hologram of I am that has always been trying to get through. Your investment in suffering pays no useful dividends. Turning your back on the illusory man in the mirror will start to reveal the hologram of I am that has always been trying to get through. Being seduced by the way it has been and the comfort zone you are wedded to is simply foolish. Yes, you know better. So the very idea of that which we see coming from the old frequency is the very vehicle that keeps us stuck. So we have to see it with an openness. We have to begin to see what is really there. The man behind the curtain, the great Wizard of Oz, in his humility and humble self, and in his weakness and frailty, reveals to Dorothy et al. The way to get their heart's desires. But it's only until we begin to look beyond the mask that we begin to see these things. Witnessing the truth in you, even when it is yet to reveal, is a manifestation of believing eyes that are the precursor to the revelation of the I am expressing as you. Yes, it must happen to open the portals of form to release the necessary cosmic energies that will seed the actualization into the now. Good faith is a must here. Living as if life is already glorious is a useful tool as well. Claiming your I am health is essential to the makeup of the truth as you in this moment and in this dimension. Faking it till you make it is the vernacular. Working as if you don't need the money, love as if you've never been hurt, dance as if no one is watching, sing as if you know you won't be heard. I have this moment to be the all I am. What's done is now behind me. I feel myself expand. If you are willing to test that, it will deliver the goods. This is strictly principle here. It's strictly the power of the focus and the power of faith and the power of taking action. From the revealed you, you are then able to witness others. It is not a posturing or a look at how cool I am and how much I can make your life better energy. Rather, it's simply seeing all as the I am in expression. You can do this with conviction because you have reclaimed it in yourself. It is a knowing that floods through the eyes and activates the inner knowing of all it sets its gaze upon. This is how we are born to serve one another and the greater manifestation of the oneness. Are you in? See, this is more about the times that are coming, about our own healed capacity to then be able to witness somebody into their own wholeness. it will be that powerful. It is that powerful. That as you reacclimate to your own template and stand in that frequency, anything of lower frequency cannot survive in that. So that calls forth the healing of the person that is in your presence. And through the gaze of the eyes and through the connection that occurs in those energetic levels, you trigger the remembering of the person across from you. Are you willing to live in a life like that? Because that, in my opinion, is what is coming and what is really more than on the horizon. All right, we let go of that one. Let's go to a new view on emotional and mental health. Because so much of healing, as I said, is about the physical, and it's about having a body that can survive the journey. Even talking about it as surviving the journey is an invitation to the blues. Let's see what's said. Until recent times, the primary elements of human beings, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, were kept isolated from one another when it came to health. Excuse me. In its own domain, each functioned as its own field for the most part. Physical under a doctor's care, emotional under the tutelage of counselors and therapists, mental in the domain of the psychologist and psychotherapist, and the spiritual in the land of the priest or the pastor or the rabbi or the monk, on and on. But now there's a growing understanding that they are not isolated, but directly influence one another in profound ways. Still, this is not necessarily a widespread tenet, but rather in the hearts and minds of those waking up to the oneness. Therefore, we shall treat it as gospel. Why not? The physical was a place where sickness and disease happened. It was a result of germs, viruses, bacteria, infections, and physical traumas. It required treatment in the physical through surgery, extraction, repair, drugs, antibiotics, hospitalization, etc. There still is little willingness for most practicing doctors to see a correlation between the physical and emotions through the mental, though the mental is opening up a bit. As far as the spiritual, forget about it for most, though some are akin to calling upon God for interventions, mercy, and miracles, but still, only for those who God deems worthy. It's a bit of a crapshoot, really. And spiritual healings are in the hand of fakirs and charismatic Christian tent revivals of the Holy Rollers. So you can still see how the culture separates alternatives from us and brands them and forces them to be seen in a lower light. And if you still want to go into those things, then there are culturally ways where you can be ostracized, punished, or even disappear. Curious, isn't it? But lately, the importance of emotion as a contributor to conditions is growing in awareness. New perspectives tied to energy and vibration and the chakras is showing that emotions that are unexpressed and swallowed without vocalization are indeed being stored energetically in the body tissues and cells themselves and in the in-body chakras and meridians, creating blockages and reservoirs of toxicity. Emotions, especially fear, anger, sadness, and grief unexpressed, will store by design and grow in intensity, triggered by the moments of living aligned with the emotion. The storage reduces the vibration of the area. This has the intention of physicalizing the energy to get the attention of the conscious mind so that release can take place to restore the state of health. We have talked about this model over and over through this course. And here it is under the umbrella of health. The slower the vibration, meaning the longer it is held and resupplied by like frequency and themed energy, the greater the likelihood of a condition or disease. Growing evidence is showing that the cost of emotional stuckness is at the root of an increasing number of classic physical-based diseases and conditions. And I could have put in here a pretty significant list of the big ones. But I didn't. Naturally, it would follow that the healthiest thing one can do is to ensure the release of emotional energy and to also clear out the reservoir of specific toxic energies, frequencies, already contained in chakra, tissue, cell, gland, and organ. Unfortunately, this is simply not supported yet on the mass level. Emotions are still seen as weakness and woman's work, and as such do not get released. Rather, they get ignored, masked, medicated, and whitewashed with the addiction du jour. But by design, emotion is to be allowed and experienced. It is in some circles perceived as a reason for the third and fourth dimensions and the earthly plane. For beings of all kinds to have the opportunity to incarnate here and have the truly expansive experience of feeling emotions in the flesh, for it is not a regular thing throughout the cosmos. In fact, esoteric knowledge says this is the only place. Wow, that puts a high value on it for those wanting to have the experience. Interesting how so many, once they get here, are supported by the culture and family to not feel a thing, to mistrust emotion, and completely not want any part of it. That's crazy. Emotion as a pure force of energy enters through the backside of the sacral chakra, and once it crosses, the spinal midline is then released to be energy, emotion of the moment. And as fluid, evolving force, emotion must be allowed to be born by the stimulus. Have full expression, move towards release, and be completely released energetically. Anything less than this sequence denies the incarnate the full experience. To reach the state of health, one must have emotional literacy, which consists of an understanding of the nature of emotion as well as the location, sensations, methods of release that go along with each. Not fearing the emotions is a great place to start. But how to make that happen when one is wrapped and sustained in a fearful state? Enter the cosmic intervention. So please understand, and if you reread or re-listen to that particular long paragraph there, that there's a whole lot going on. Because it is the design, it is not only the design of the being itself, but it is the nature of the dimension. And in the wisdom of the source that created this as an experience, it has had a profound effect on the cosmos. So much so that, like I said, the beings are lined up here to get in and experience what it's like. And yet, when you're here, the old ways are about denying the very reason for coming and to not feel. So, do what you will with that. The mental has struggled in the generational dances of what is normal and accepted and how to deal with that when it is not. Institutions are peppered with individuals who are experiencing anything from the triggered release of a great deal of emotional residue to the actual movement of the divine energy called the Kundalini. Each impacts the chemistry and the capacity to stay fully in body. And these reactions have been often treated in abnormal conditions worth of drastic treatments that change as fast as the fashion industry itself. I have to rework that. And these reactions have been often treated as abnormal conditions worthy of drastic treatments that change as fast as the fashion industry. Even as close back as the 1950s, the acknowledgement of a mental condition had severe public judgment surrounding it. Therapy or working with a counselor was seen as weaknesses and diseases socially ostracized by the ignorant masses. I remember asking my mother if she would like to do some therapy and work with me, and she says, I don't do that. And that was a testament to her generation, that it was a stigma to even consider that you needed to have mental help. Only the sick would do that, and no one was willing to stand in that frequency. Remember that the 40s and 50s, especially in the early 60s, were the land of extremes, and they were the either-or. They were black and white. You were either this or you were either that, and there was nothing in between. Father knows best. It was a curious time, and it had a high cost. When I went through my period of time where I was feeling my first releases of some of the woundings that came as sensations in the body that I could only perceive as an anxiety attack. And I treated it as such, and in the work that I was doing, I immediately was able to get access to some medication that would take it away, or at least take away the sensations. And although that promised relief, something within me said, don't go there. But I said, I'm not willing to be in this frequency because it's compromising how I am in my moments. So I did an in-between, and I got the tablets, my lorazepam, and wherever I went, I had them in a baggie in my pocket. And if I started to freak out, I'd reach in and I'd grab the baggie, and then there it was in my hand energetically doing its work, and I never took them. Now, I'm not saying that's the way to do things. That's what I chose to do. And I was happy to have that as a crutch for the time being. I also remember back in the days of the late 70s or so, when I was starting to work in a whole variety of regimens, to realize that fellows like R.D. Lang and some other great existentialists would be talking about the process of going crazy, or as it was branded. And his solution to going crazy was to allow somebody to just sort of to walk them right through it and to go deeply into it, and typically to allow that which was there to release and process itself, and it would come out the other side in a healed state. If you follow that as a kundalini energy moving where it clears and blasts out the chakra energies, the lower viscera, then you realize that a lot of debris and toxicity is going to rush through the system, and it's going to look pretty crazy to the outside eye. And if you are so inclined to be under the care of someone, they're going to want to make sure that you don't have that. In recent times, the PTSD work of people through somatic experience, like Peter Levine, you're realizing that the body contains and holds on all of these old woundings, and it often holds them in the actual motion and the movement of the actual event itself. And as I went through some of these processes, I began to see how my body just began to release in its form the experiences that I had, so much so that I would start be actually like running. When I was on the table, my legs would go through the process of running away from the things that were attacking me. It was remarkable to be the witness of that. And then on the other side of it, to wonder, how can anyone believe that the wounds of life don't have impact on the emotions and the mind and all of that, and they work together? The brain is a complex organ that is geared towards quick response to stimuli in a fight or flight way, or in a rational thinking process that sees the bigger picture. It is chemical and energetic and responds well to patterns and born out of repetition and emotion, creating entrenched neural pathways that, when established, divert behaviors automatically for the organism. Repetition creates our behaviors. There's just no other way to say it. It builds a neural pathway within our brain itself where the energy moves through there to call the same response over and over. It tells the muscles what to do. It tells where to send the energy to the brain. It gives us our response to our mental response. It gives us the understanding of it based upon the pattern itself. The woundings of life put certain beliefs and memories into play. Some become powerful and life-defining. They are active until they are not, having been discovered through therapy, awareness, or inspiration, and then consciously changed. That was the process, really, up until these times. Through the willingness and the courage to actually begin to look at the woundings and stand in them and to go into the depths of the chaos, information was revealed. Most often it was a visceral energy that was sensation-based, and it was the energy that cleared and moved, which then raised our frequency of awareness so that we could let go of certain neural pathways and neural processes so that we could change our behavior. The conscious change of that was the critical element in those times. And that took time, it took repetition, it took catching ourselves in the middle of it, being the observer of the process so that we could catch ourselves midstream when we're going back to the old behavior. The assistance of these times is to go in and to eradicate the energy that sustains these behavioral patterns and to shift it enough so that we can create a completely new way of doing things that are based upon the higher frequency awareness that we have now, and put them into place very, very quickly. That, in a sense, is the promise of the times of integrating the mental. And again, the association of all the parts together creates the whole condition. And ultimately, the mental, the spiritual, and the emotional are going to find their impact in the physical, because that's where it can be measured and seen. The focus of attention creates the results of the focus. You get that? That which you attend on becomes a result. They become the results of the focus made manifest in form. If one is bound by fear that recycles the past or engages in the what-if scenarios of the feared future, then it will follow that the physical is compromised. Thought and beliefs are, along with the energetic debris of the unexpressed emotion, the building blocks of dis-ease in this current and growing medical model. Ignoring this can be fatal. Consider the gravestone that proudly displayed, "See, I told you I was sick." Thoughts must be weeded out to reveal the culprits that keeps patterns in play. The patterns keep the neural pathways alive. Replacing the stinking thinking with the higher frequency truths begins the re-education process. This will eventually alter the form of one's life. Yet, it is slow because of the nature of the physical. Changing one's focus is actually more powerful. Engaging imagination and emotion and the capacity to visualize can begin to lift the body out of its current physical form into new places of higher frequency that will become manifest. You can slug through the mud because, you know, that's a way to do it, and that's exactly what I did. Call it double Virgo, call it whatever you will. I chose to walk through everything I possibly could so far. And I celebrate the new ways that are coming because it doesn't result in such tissue damage. It doesn't result in such a cellular impact or overwhelm the way that it is done so often. Finally, the spiritual domain is one where the divine connection can be established and maintained, calling upon the celestial and source resources to support the whole being. Being tied to a man-made religion of limitation and arrogance will do more damage than it is worth. Perpetuating misinformation and devaluing will cripple any forward momentum and force the body to eventually pay the cost, opening up to a greater spiritual connection of all life and stepping out of the I am human arrogance that isolates will unleash the very energies that can assist mightily in aligning the whole being into health. You understand the damage done in the name of God, in the form of God that was being perpetuated by whatever religion that was being talked about that viewed you and me and all these precious beings as limited, as compromised, as sinners. I watched on last night on, right now I'm forgetting the show, but it's a great one, Something Tonight, what is it? But it was about the televangelists, the ones who coerce for money, who use the name of God and coerce you and your gullibility to send them money for the promise of healing. This is really this process. People that prey upon your weakness in the moment of you having a condition. Well, rather than be susceptible to that, rather than give your power away to such things, those days are really over, and it really starts with your awareness, as we shall see. The grand design of you is no accident. Everything is there on purpose, interrelated and aligned with the whole of I am. Calling upon any part activates the companion energy that expands and heals the whole. Each initiates activity in the other. They coexist and oscillate in unison energies even as they maintain their separate frequency. Do not live as an isolated being anymore if you desire to be in a state of health. Come home to you. Utilize the whole design and trust that this multidimensional vehicle you travel in is a dream machine headed for the inner and outer stars. Get your motor running. Head out on the highway looking for adventure and whatever comes our way. Like a true nature's child, you were born to be wild. You could fly so high, never want to die. Well, that was a rough approximation. But that song fits right there. It does. So we're out of that, and we now look at, finally, let's go to the conscious alignment to achieve and maintain health. If indeed, as a growing esoteric download of information reveals that the natural state of the human being is health, then it is prime time to begin living from the frequency, that frequency, as opposed to the spawn of Satan defective POS ways of the newly old. You know what I'm talking about. Adopting the outer knowing of the inner design will begin to attract a whole new set of aligned frequencies of experience to your personal domain. These will begin to awaken and amplify the inner knowing and the actual design, activating the tools of right living and nurturing sustenance we have always carried within. Though the forces of light are already infiltrating our bodies and levels of consciousness, there is still the need for conscious choice to really put the energies in motion and into application. You must claim the new ways open to the possibilities and exercise your well-developed muscles of discernment to spiral into these powerful forms. This journey is not for the weak. That I meant to be W-E-A-K. Well, maybe it's not for this week. It is for the inspired and the adventurer and the one who does not believe the old press anymore. Health is a conscious choice, an application of the revealed inspiration and the higher frequency learnings to the mundane of the day-to-day routine that have dulled living and darkened the inspiration contained in every breath in this remarkable fertile dimension. It is not an afterthought, a reflection upon a lazy pathway, one that ignored the obvious by kowtowing to the distractions of the shiny objects and the temporary pleasures of the way it has been. How much do you want to be you? Every moment must be observed, responded to, and fed with a higher vibrational knowing if you want to climb out of the Piscean-influenced sewer. Your choice, my friend. I hope you get that. So what follows right now are some ways to support this new journey of alignment. We've looked at many of these before, and again, it keeps coming down to some very basic things that we see over and over and over again until they become the way we live, if you choose. Monitor your thoughts and make sure that anyone that is of lower vibration and not life-affirming must be weeded out of your fertile tissues and cells. No exceptions. Awareness followed by substitution, fed by repetition, will do the trick here. Active use of the voice via spoken word, sounding, singing, sharing, declaring, emoting, loving, not one thing is to be contained in tissue anymore. Not one thing. Stay clear and stay clean. And the voice, as I attempted to say in that sentence, is completely a vehicle that will do the clearing, if you allow it. Knowing living creates energetic responses to the moments in varying degrees and frequencies. Choosing to clear at day's end is paramount to achieving the ongoing state of health. Stay clear, my friend. The Dos Equis ad with this, stay thirsty, my friend. Well, stay clear. Knowing living creates energetic responses. Okay, did that. Nourishing the inner relationship with child self is a potent and necessary vehicle to reawakening and reunification of the whole self. We've given a whole treatment and a session to the inner child. Applying proper self-care to your whole being. We've had sessions on self-care. Opening fully to guidance in all dimensions and always asking for help that you will listen to and apply assists in raising and maintaining the frequencies necessary for the healthy state. Many people succumb to an illness and compromise themselves because they feel that they are alone and they don't reach out to the available resources that are there within in the dimension itself as well as in the etheric realms. That's a tragedy. Activating the whole self to interface with all of life in this dimension's open doors to high-frequency experiences that disintegrate the old manifestations of misinterpretations of life. That is a power-packed phrase, activating the whole self to interface with all of life in this dimension opens doors to higher frequency experiences that disintegrate the old manifestations of misinterpretations of life. We carry our perceptions of the way it's been, and we view those as the gospel for life. We let them seed our moments and attract and magnetize the results over and over again. You being you in your whole self does not allow these things to occur, and it is a step forward that activates the processes that disintegrate those old ways. Try it out. Befriending and creating fluid relationship with all of your emotions will go far in removing any potential blockages to the energy system within you. Blockages are the seeds of disease and diminished health. Conscious choice to release stinking thinking and devotion to old ways based on poor me and the forever wounded syndrome. That's a good one to let go of. Believing in and acting upon the divine fertility of the now moment, knowing and trusting that the forms or conditions can be tossed out as well. This moment contains the seed of the next moment. That's all he can say about it. If you don't like what's here, then you toss it out and create something new for the next. It is fast becoming that simple to do. The point is, will you choose to do that? Choosing to live without restraint or hesitation. Being in constant gratitude, seeing beauty in all and everything, holding the higher view on all the forms of your moments, believing in the power of love as a universal salve and substance, accepting the grace that is delivered to the aware in exponential doses, knowing that there is oh so much more, and asking often, how does it get better than this? These are all useful strategies for claiming the true state of health. Living as much as possible from the open heart space that breathes love and pure light into that which is you, which is before you, sorry. Living as much as possible from the open heart space that breathes love and pure light into that which is before you. Washing anything and everything with love will become the preferred tool of miracle makers. Choosing not to inherit sickness or even entertain it as a possibility. Trusting rather to affirm and live in the mutual unification of all life and its capacity to serve itself and all its participants and forms to be the all that is. No exceptions. If my belief system doesn't allow illness to take place, that is what will occur. I believe. Blessing everyone and everything is a powerful strategy. Showering your whole being and all its specifics with observations of health and vitality and longevity and spontaneity and balance and glorious expressions of love in all directions is highly advised and will serve to bring you more than you could ever desire. In other words, this is saying when you put these things in motion, and that's how you live your moments, where you observe and you look for not the thing that's going wrong, but the energy of that which is in alignment. And you affirm it through your witnessing, and you affirm it through your celebration of it as it occurs to you and occurs to all those around you, as it shows up in moments of living. You observe the health and the vitality and the longevity and spontaneity and balance and the glorious expressions of love in all directions, in everything. That creates a healthy state. There is no lower frequency energy that can survive in that kind of a frequency. We go now to tools of healing, and then we'll finish off with alternative health modalities, as well as looking at some additional activities and bringing to conclusion this whole thing. I have strength to meet the moments life lays in my hands. Through the pain I grow, I learn to take each step I can. All my thoughts, my words, my actions serve to keep me strong. Spirit triumphs over matter. Strength is my song. Strength is my song. The wisdom in the words of that particular song is a reactivation of the inner knowing and the capacity to make manifest a different frequency, no matter what it appears to be. That we are born of strength. We are born with the capacity to stand fully in the moment and make choices to do something differently. What we perceive as pain is a vehicle that actually allows us and often motivates us to do things differently. The doing things differently through the motivation of the pain is often the vehicle that actually changes the forms, because it eradicates the thinking, it eradicates the strategies we have applied before, and gives the new frequencies an opportunity to take hold and thus lead us out of that dark space. Spirit triumphs over matter. It always will. But that does not mean its might over or controlling something. It literally is using the frequency, the higher frequency of spirit, to override the form of the moment in the material. We seed it new information. We intend the new vibration, and that, by cosmic law, results in a new form. These are the promises of these times and the days to come. Tools for healing. Sorry about the formatting on the first one there. There are so many things that exist that can be useful to create and maintain the healthy state. Here is a list of some of those you can engage as you choose. The first one, the natural world. Earth, rocks and stones for grounding, gems and minerals for specific frequencies, trees for life force and grounding and connecting, plants for energy clearing, sustenance and herbals, beach for grounding and negative ions, auric cleansing via the white noise, running water for sound and vibrational cleanse, visual vistas for inspiration and gratitude, fire for warmth and cleansing rituals, space and stars for inspiration, guidance, and asking for help. A fool does not pay attention to the natural world. Again, what we see in the politics and the changing energies of the planet itself is the very vibrational shifting that is occurring on the planet as well. There is not an idle, isolated event occurring. It's a symbiotic experience of rising in frequency that is happening with human and with planet itself. The planet has her own agenda. The symbiotic relation that we have with her allows her to reflect the inner state of the mass consciousness of all humans. It's a perfect reflection of the state of our own nation, our own inner nation. The greatest change that can occur in any way is for you and for me and each of us as individuals to make the changes necessary to create the higher vibration. That is how you change the world. It is not by having a program that's going to go out there and force people to do it your way, no matter where your heart's coming from. Sorry. Another tool for healing is sound. As all is vibration, oscillating particles that vibrate as frequencies that manifest specific shape and disintegrate to allow the flow once the intention is moved on. That is an expression of how sound is the vehicle that actually creates the form through the intention of the individual who made the sound. And that form takes and holds its shape until it is no longer necessary. And then it disintegrates and flows into the next form that is called forth. Why not? Why not? Your voice is one of the most powerful healing tools you have, and raw sound, especially in slow-moving vowels, it moves hesitant, emotional, energetic debris to assist in restoring the original healthy state. The sounds themselves force things out of the way, the blockages. Paying attention to the sounds that enter your field is a useful tool, especially when you discern where they are impacting your body. The sound of a bird's call will speak to somewhere in your body. Go there. see what the message is. Witness the release of the information. It is no accident that that bird came into your space. The sound of anything around you is going to have impact upon your viscera. Pay attention. Your higher self is working overtime to bring you that which you need to remember who you are. So why not use the vehicles that are actually becoming a part of your moments of living? Why not? The use of mantra. Mantra, words spoken intentionally for thousands of years as a phrase of high frequency or as an invocation to a particular deity. Mantras work because they carry the collective frequency of the intention from all the times it has been spoken. Typically spoken in a sing-song manner for 108 times, their power is augmented by repetition. The more you speak them, the more they impact your frequency and form to do their intended work. Om Mani Padme. Whoops, looks like I need to fix that. A new mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Shanti Prashanti Sarva Krodha Upashamanti Swaha. San San Jo Lu Ba Ya Wu. I am that I am. All mantras, when repeated, bring about a desired condition. Chants. Everywhere across the world, cultures sing. Chant is a common element of most of the uncivilized cultures as they use the power of repetition and rhythm to distract the conscious monkey mind and allow the space to open to receptivity of higher, clearer moods and frequencies. In North America, most are strongly impacted by Native American chant as it evokes the past lives of the frequency and pairs one with the earth for the purpose of grounding and empowerment. Wani wachi alo, wani wachi alo, wakong kitanka, wakong kitanka. Hinamea, hinamea, hinamechichayo, hinamea, hinamea, hinamechichayo. Wendeyaho, wendeyaho, wendeya, wendeya. Hey, hey, yaho, hey, yaho, hey, yaho, ya, ya, ya. Intentional song is a tool for healing. The power of the spoken word is an intentional, higher frequency statement of affirmation, and positivity is amplified by putting the statement into melody and song. Thus, intentional songs follow principles of chant and mantra by applying repetition and rhythm and the power of singing it to create very effective tools that can assist in clearing old perspectives, thoughts, beliefs, and patterns that have kept illness in place. I give a little love, I give a little light. Comes back round, I feel all right. Ah, life is good. Ah, life is good. My eyes are open wide. My heart is filled with love. I am the perfect work of God. Affirmative prayer is a tool. Prayer is the beseeching of God for assistance, healing, and grace. Traditionally, it comes from need and perceived weakness. Affirmative prayer affirms life and the desired condition as already being so. It is a gratitude practice that calls forth the in-the-now application of source grace. It creates an awareness and an attitude of anticipation that amplifies the senses and redirects attention to the subtleties of the manifestation in many unexpected forms. Whew. Good stuff. Help me, God. Help me. That's certainly one form of prayer. It's going to get certain results. But affirming the moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, Source, for bringing me the clarity to understand what is happening in this moment. For that, I am eternally grateful. Aho. Affirmation and proclamation. As health is so often a direct result of thought and thinking patterns, it follows that the higher the frequency of the thoughts, and the more likely they attract the higher frequency condition or health. Words spoken in the now as if already so, claiming the desired state or condition, activate the manifestation laws of the cosmos. Proclamations proclaim powerfully the new reality by accessing forces that feed the cells, the tissues, and the spirit. Daily use of each is a useful tool to direct thinking and anticipate results by shifting and expanding the focus. At all times, I remain fully in my body. All my energy fields remain clear and clean and in perfect alignment. My greatest peace and power comes when all my bodies are fully integrated and solid on the earth. And so it is, and so it is. Movement as a tool. The vibrating nature of reality requires movement on all levels. To sit still is to go against the flow. Moving frees up the cellular energetic debris. It brightens the mood, moves emotion, activates the chi force, oxygenates the whole body, brings joy, energizes. So dance, walk, exercise, frolic, celebrate, improvise, jiggle, shake, shimmy, oscillate, isolate, play, isolate. I think I meant something else there. Body work is a tool. The many modalities of body work all serve to clear energetic blockages along meridian lines, in energy bodies, in cells and tissues, in chakras, etc., to bring back the illumined state. Hands-on sessions activate sense of value and worth and pass high energies of the foundational frequency of love to the receiver. Inner child work as a vehicle. The inner child self is the creator and holder of beliefs and patterns that are too often the precursor to an unhealthy state. The well-meaning decisions made by the child self are powerful and steer us into behavior patterns that are counterproductive to the healthy state. The child has done her best but was uninformed. Opening up conscious communication between child and adult will facilitate the re-education and release necessary to give the child back the childhood lost, resulting in profound healings in the physical realm. For your profound adventure with Inner Child, please visit Mark's Inner Child Mentoring Process. Follow that link and get there. It may be the thing that needs to be done. Daily cleansing as your own particular vehicle of health. The clearer one is energetically, the healthier one is on the whole. Clearing is a result of focused, conscious activities that clear the old energetic debris from cells, tissues, and chakras and establish a daily regimen of releasing the vibes of the day before retiring. This kind of process allows the being to function as balanced with all resources available in the now. Clearing the old rekindles the original state of complete health and activates the in-body design to do its work without impediment. The capacity to use past and future lives as a tool for healing. Beyond the third dimension, time and space are irrelevant. In this earthly realm, however, we are bound by physical laws that create a traditional linear relationship which impacts us mightily, though mostly mentally. Within the framework of the dimensional design is the expanding awareness that all time and space exist simultaneously and, as such, are accessible in this moment. We have, through the activation of the whole 12-strand DNA, the portals and the coding with which to consciously access all past life incarnations as well as all future expressions to call forth the healing state in the now moment via DNA strand 8. From the past, we can garner information that seeded the current condition and make the necessary adjustments to initiate the new frequency of health. From the future, we can pull a vibrant state into current application. We can consciously contact the specific frequency-based crystalline structure held by the Earth herself to tap into that continuum, the Akashic, that supports the movement of the blockages showing up as health issues. And a reminder, go back and look at our connection with the Earth to get some further information on the DNA and on the activation of these elements. That was way back, I believe, in Block 2. The use of food and herbs as a tool for health. All substances that serve as food for the human organism are in the earthly plane by arrangement and agreement and thus serve that frequency without hesitation. Attitude and intent can impact the living frequency of the substance, however. Mistreatment of the food source or of the self during the process of ingestion can have a significant diminishing effect on the food. Thus, be at peace when eating, when reflecting gratitude to the food and its living source, when blessing the body through conscious support and trust to treat the substance with light light to ensure that the substance transfers its life force completely. Herbs are nature's pharmacopoeia, the very beings from which sustenance and healing manifest. Conscious use and application can have a prime impact on any condition. Often in nature, the antidote for any plant substance that is intensive or even fatal can be found within the sphere of that plant in the wild. For those who are open to see and access, nature is organized and available. Since ingesting food can be aligned or responsive to the emotions of the moment and thus of the stored past, it is important to be in a place of center when choosing to allow that which is before you to enter your temple. Cravings for whatever are often a temporary need being filled to bring a balance that can precipitate healing. Forcibly restricting a craving can have contrary consequences by amplifying the craving to lead to binging. Not useful at all. Water and hydration as a tool and a modality, most would be surprised how quickly the body begins to dehydrate. Ignoring the signals is a learning that has consequences. Being comprised of primarily water, the body requires a steady flow to function in its zone of health. Liquid does not imply being a substitute for water. A bunch of beer during the course of the day is not a healthy substitute for water. Hydration is essential and regulated by your own inner wisdom. Tune in and you will know what is required. Water is also the medium for the movement of emotion. Being hydrated allows the emotion to enter and flow toward complete release. The water also serves to lubricate the cells and tissues as well as provide the substance for the premier body cleanser, tears. Supplements. By design, all the vitamins and minerals necessary to sustain health are provided by the food sources, the water, the air, the chi, and the ethers. Unfortunately, many of these have been compromised by the Piscean influence and the subsequent unconscious behaviors. Thus, we must augment the resources via supplements. Please learn to listen to your own body and follow the guidance that will lead you to the substances required by you. Daily recommendations, some tests, some diagnoses, medical guidelines are useful but have likely been tampered with to support the pocketbooks of the supplier. So, learn to muscle test to let the body tell you. Use a pendulum for guidance. Open heart energy and trust the inner guidance. Ask for etheric help via word, writing, or outside intervention. Western medicine intervention. As a tool, sometimes the physical makes manifest a condition before awareness has birthed another strategy, in which case intervention via surgery is required to sustain life. If this be the case, so be it. Trust the wisdom of the forum and do all you can to prepare your inner and outer self for such invasion. Having the proper mindset, calling upon support, creating the needed healing environment, setting up resources and strategies for the pre-surgery, during surgery, post-surgery, recovery, and thriving phases of the process can be vital in making manifest the desired outcomes. Words, music, color, aromatherapy, chant, mantra, intentional song, affirmations, proclamations, decrees, etheric assistance, etc. are tools for the one who is embarking on that adventure. Finally, inner guidance in the moment. Learning to trust the wisdom of the current moment and developing the willingness to access the extensive support system we all have in the seen and unseen world will open the door for spontaneous healings. Your own body wisdom via the higher self is unparalleled. Listen to it and do what you are told. Changes in the form of the moments may be needed in the now and when acted upon can change the vibration enough to facilitate a change in the form, which is healing. And finally, we have 30 seconds to just open the door to evolving alternative health strategies. The list there is by no means complete. Refer to it. You can Google any of those and find information on them. So let me just say this. In the world to come, the variety of healing modalities can all coexist in a way that serves the needs of the human being more respectfully and equally. There is room for it all, the alternative, the Western allopathic, and the Eastern. To underscore a previous point, the rise of many new modalities is a combination of a set of factors. Personal healing pathways individuals have taken consciously have revealed a unique method that worked for them. An increasing number of these journeys are leading to the revelation of new treatments that are very specific and serve mostly individuals of like vibration, history, and issues. Thus, the modality becomes a powerful vehicle for them. Often being in the vibration of the Creator will assist in raising the other's vibration to healing and transformational levels. Additionally, the raising of the collective vibration is reawakening and reintroducing ancient techniques that are very powerful. The descent into the lower frequencies of the Piscean times lowered the vibration to the point that humans could not handle these healing vibrations, so the modality disappeared temporarily. They are being reintegrated into the consciousness of healers who can absorb the frequencies and apply them. These are primarily tools of vibrational healing, such as sound, word, light, color, and aromatherapy. If the cosmos indeed is supporting us to return to the true I Am vibration that we are, then the necessary healing tools being offered are particularly potent. And what follows is a list of some methods becoming available. And you can read through that in your own time. So, Block 4, Session 3, Part 1, Part 2, being in the state of health, you have a shite load of information to rekindle your own inner awareness. If you are in the midst of some kind of condition manifested out of a series of choices along the path, so be it. You have at your disposal a host of modalities that can make a shift. Your conscious application of them in the moment, the methods that you choose, will have an impact upon you. If you're in a place where you have already reached a point where the physicality of the situation is entering into some difficult times, then by all means you consult whatever practitioner, et cetera, that you feel guided to go to. And by all means, Western medicine may be the vehicle that actually served you best because things have been just allowed to go on for too long. Like I said, even in the midst of using those forms, one can set the arena from higher perspectives and alternative methodologies to augment it enough to make it do miracle work. Sometimes we have to lose something to gain the clarity that's on the other side of it. It's important to know that we are not victims of a cultural decision, that the system itself is not the dictator over our health. The sooner that we personally separate ourselves from the history and realize the full capacity of the design and start calling upon it and then develop our own testimonial, the better off we will be. Creating the higher frequency state is a state that allows no lower vibration to exist in it. Thus, the state of health that is there by design is an ongoing process. We are that powerful, and this is about reminding you of the depth of that power. There is no reason not to pay attention to it. And there's no reason to start applying methodologies and whatever. You will be guided to that which you need. And remember, finally, that you are a healing vehicle in the frequency that you have become. Your very life's journey has brought you to the particular frequency that is honed by the moments of living, the choices you made, and it in itself is a frequency that can raise the vibration of someone who, quote-unquote, wanders into your field. They wander in because they have a like vibration. They have a like history. And your presence and your loyalty to your true self will be the very tool that causes them to activate their own inner healing capacity. And you will have served in a mighty way in that situation. Whether it's conscious or unconscious is irrelevant. You have the capacity to do that. So it's not a time to find fault with the things that have happened and play the victim card. Those are just really wasted energies and such worn-out tools that they just have no purpose whatsoever in these times. As one who is actually opening to this information and choosing to put it into practice, the only responsibility, and I'll say this again over and over, is for you to be you and to be in the frequency of you in all your moments, especially when they involve other people. The wisdom of the process of magnetic attraction is that you come into contact with anyone, they will be information that is going to be exchanged on an energetic level. They are there for you as you are there for them. So why not celebrate one another by being open to the bigger picture and the bigger view? Next week, we begin the process of abundance, prosperity, and manifestation with this new sort of approach to what we're doing. That is followed by in the infinite now moment of power. That is followed by new strategies of conscious living, and finally, oneness. I'm not sure how true will be to the last two, or number five and six, but we will do abundance, prosperity, and manifestation, because this is one big mind control in this culture, especially to someone who has developed consciousness. So that'll be fun to research through the week and to find out what is going to be delivered as the information for us. I invite you to be fully present with what you've got here and what you've learned. Go back over and listen to it if you can. Read through it, because there's a lot here. Remember that your cells are reawakening to the inner knowing, and that you will take this information and apply it as necessary to your own frequency and your own being. And thus the uniqueness of you will continue on and on and on. I am so grateful for your choice to be a part of this. And whew, now, relax and let go, because this is done at this point. So I'll stay on for a moment if there are any comments or questions here. Otherwise, I'll terminate the call, and we'll be on for next week. Your recording, if I can follow through, as I did last week, should be available before my head hits the pillow. So blessings in your health and the state of health that you can maintain to create and maintain and thrive in, so be it. We are done. All right. So be it. Blessings. Good night.